Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. Hey, come out this Friday, and every Friday there's an all-new music happy hour going on. This Friday, new vinyl in store from Modest Mouse, Steeler's Wheel, Nonpoint, Bad Bad Not Good, Lightning Hopkins, Car Seat Headrest, Whitechapel, Switchfoot, Dead Can Dance, and much, much more. Full listings online, and you can come out and get 10% off any purchase, free four hands beer for those of age, and live vinyl spinning in store. So it's going to be a good party each and every Friday. Keep an eye out for live in stores on the weekends, and you can always shop 24/7 on musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Max Price, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Max Price. Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very happy to be on it.
Yeah. Hey, we were talking off mic, but you were saying this is your first real podcast experience now?
I guess legitimate podcast experience and some like interviews and stuff, but nothing in this form. So, yeah, it's first popping the podcast cherry.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm having a great time doing this show, getting to get around town and meeting guys like yourself and other comics and musicians and just cool people around town to talk to. And
yeah, you've been doing it a while, so you've met a lot of people by now.
Sure, yeah.
And you got to, and not just like locals, right? But I assume you've gotten to like just people like traveling through. Also, you do podcasts too with, right? Because I remember when I was. When I was doing the Funny Bone with Adam Ray, I remember you did a podcast with him after the show.
Yeah.
And then he has a great podcast, too. I love listening to his about last night.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah, I sit with Adam that weekend when he was in town. We recorded at his hotel, and which was pretty awesome, getting to, you know, a guy at his caliber. He's blowing up right now, man. He's just, like, everywhere. He's on TV. He's got a game show on TBS, Separation Anxiety. He's got Voice of Hyundai. He's the voice of Slimer in the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You know, so it was pretty crazy to get to sit and talk to a guy like that, and especially a guy that I'm a big fan of, his comedy and his podcast as well. I'm a big fan of About Last Night.
Yeah, him and Red Williams, they do a great podcast. That was an awesome week. I just working with him that week, I feel like I learned so much. He's very, he just got such a quick wit. It's just amazing how good he is at talking with the crowd and just kind of weaving the conversation into, you know, a joke that he has loaded, you know, and ready to fire, and he just makes it look so easy, and it's just it's just an incredible art form that he has mastered. And and just since then, I feel like, yeah, like you said, he's just been blowing up since then. You know, he has that new game show, and then I know he's on that like revamp of Mad TV.
It'll be coming out here shortly.
And then I know he was doing the opening sets for Adam Devine's house party show on Comedy Central, and then obviously regular touring, and then doing voiceovers and acting. I mean, he's been a real busy guy. Especially with someone of his, like you said, his caliber, he's just so like down to earth and just a cool guy to talk to. You know, he doesn't have like a big head or anything or chip on his shoulder. He's just a regular guy who's down to talk and hang out and chill, you know. And he was. That was a great, great week. I really enjoyed working with him for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I threw that offer out there, you know, to see if he wanted to record while he was in town, just because I ask a lot of people, just and I was I didn't really get an answer right away, but when he was in town, he got back to me and he said he still wanted to do that, and I was like, yeah. So I was thrilled for the opportunity, and like I said, it was he gave me a lot of advice as well for, you know, podcasting form and stuff. So it was exciting, man. He's a good dude, and like I said, it was pretty fun to get to sit and talk for an hour with him about everything. So
he's a very funny guy. He's definitely good for podcasts. He's just able to think of things just like right off the cuff to
sure
do funny stuff. He's got a lot of voices too. A lot of just fun stuff to listen to.
Yeah,
very cool guy.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with that Mad TV. How they pull that off this time. I don't really know much about the rest of the cast members, but I know like some former cast members are supposed to come, you know, be making appearances and things like that. And so I don't know. I like sketch. I was just always more of a SNL fan than a Mad TV, but
yeah.
I do like a lot of the people that came out of Mad TV though. You know, of course, I like Matt Bronger a lot. He was a cast member there for a while.
I love Matt Bronger.
Yeah.
He's awesome stand-up comic too.
Yeah,
he's great.
And then, you know, there's a bunch of them. But Michael McDonald did Stewart and all that stuff.
Right. It's funny. I feel like for some reason, like, I can't think of any of the names of the actors in the show, but I know... what's her name? She blew up really big after Mad TV. It was Angela Johnson. She really blew up after that show. She did like that Bon Cui Cui thing, and she blew up really big after that. And then Keegan-Michael Key appeared in a sketch or two of theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both of Jordan was... I think they're both cast members or at least writers on the show, I think.
Okay.
Or something, I don't know for sure, but I think that's what the case.
I never watched it a whole lot, so I guess I watched it like for a little bit, and I only saw him like once or twice. So I guess I just thought he was not a huge part of it. But
yeah,
I mean, I never watched it a lot, but I definitely will be now, especially with Adam Ray like coming on.
Yeah, I'm excited. I
was more of an SNL guy too. The older SNL. I like a lot of the older SNL back in like, you know, like Eddie Murphy Day and Steve Martin, Martin Short. All those, I love that era.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, man. Is that something you want to get into doing more sketch and improv or?
Improv. I tried improv for a while. I took classes at the Improv Shop, which is a great. Great place. The teachers are there. The teachers there are very cool. They're very, you know, just very skilled. They're very patient, and they, you know, just work hard to help you grow. And I did definitely learn a lot while I was there. But improv is just something I have so much respect for improv artists, because that is just the hardest thing. Like, if I want to come up with something funny, I gotta dedicate the time. I gotta sit down. I gotta my couch. I just kind of like late at night, sit on the couch by myself when it's when it's dark and when it's quiet. You know, and I'm just alone with my thoughts. I can sit down. I can write something funny. But like off the top of my head, like that, just you know, someone shouting out a random situation and just coming up with something funny. Yeah. Like it blows my mind how people are able to do that. I never really gained that ability.
Sure.
But I have a lot of respect for people who do. Sketch is something I do love doing sketch. I actually wrote for a little sketch comedy troupe for a short time. It ended up kind of disbanding before we did a whole lot with it. But it is something I was hoping to, in the near future, to get back into. I do love writing sketch comedy, and I never really played with it as much as I did stand-up. Stand-up's always been my number one passion, my dream and everything. So I've always just stuck mostly with that. But I have on the side done a little bit with sketch for a couple groups, actually, both of which actually never really went very far, other than like recording a few sketches, and you know, we like put them online and stuff. And then after that, I don't know, like it always ended up that there was something going on with one of the writers that, like, you know, either our schedule was just not our schedule just conflicted a lot, or a couple people moved, and just so much happened. It's just, you know, both times we just kind of gave up. But
yeah,
in the near future, I definitely would love to, when I find more time, something I would definitely love to, because I love sketch comedy as well.
Yeah, I think it's neat that, like, in the city we do have a lot of, you know, creative people doing a lot of different things. Like, you know, we have
Bare Knuckle Comedy.
Yeah, we have Bare Knuckle. We have STL Up Late. We know, doing a lot of comedy sketch stuff there too. We have and all, of course, they're all doing online content as well as live content. And then you got, like I said, Improv Shop. You can go down there and do classes, and they do stuff. So yeah, I've thought about it as the host of the show, just to, you know, develop a new muscle for the live element. But I thought about doing some classes at Improv Shop just to be able to riff more and, you know, be quick on my toes with stuff. So
that's exactly why I took classes, just for if anything, I wanted to just be very good with, like, things to quickly say back to hecklers and stuff like that, or just, you know, if someone's talking, just kind of, you know, riff right back with the audience member. And I definitely did learn just, like, the certain techniques they give you that just kind of help you kind of think off the top of your, like you said, you know, off your toes, like that more. That's exactly why I did it. And it's just so much fun. Even if you don't, like, you know, really become, like, a, you know, mastermind of, you know, thinking that way, just the class in general is just a blast. Like, you just end up laughing at yourself or into others so much, just, you know, like, trying to come up with certain situations, and then when you do, you know, pull off something like you know, a really funny way to act out a scene that you're given, you know, and it just, and when it does come together, you're just I don't know, it's just really fun when something like that comes together, and then everyone's just having a great time and just laughing together, and I enjoyed it a lot. I really wished I could have gone on with it, but then, you know, just a lot of other stuff got in the way. But I hope to, I actually do want to go back and take classes there again in the future, for sure. Because even if improv isn't like your niche or anything, you know, just doing a class and learning fun stuff along the way, meeting cool people is just awesome. And the Improv Shop is just a great, great place to do that.
Yeah. So, did you get your start in comedy at the Funny Bone then? Was that your first mic?
I did, yeah. I mean, naturally, you know, it was something that I wanted to do for years. You know, like, I think the first time that I really was like, I want to do this, was watching Dave Chappelle's special, Killing Him Softly. And that special made me, like, I laughed so hard, like, my jaw hurt, you know?
Yeah.
And that one, and then also, I'm not a huge fan of him anymore, but one of the other first specials I saw as a kid was Dane Cook's Comedy Central Presents special.
Sure.
And when he had this joke about Christ checks.
Oh, yeah.
And just being in church and stuff, because, like, you know, I grew up going to church a lot and stuff, and
the peace be with you, rap.
Yes. Oh my! Like, everything about, like, the whole the church scene, and then his joke about the aliens, you know, and being a snake and stuff, and picking up chicks at the going to dance the club, like all of that. I mean, like, those two specials, I just remember at the end of them, just my jaw hurting so bad, like I couldn't move it, and just, like, being in tears. And after those, I was like, this is something that I have to try to do is, like, make a whole room full of people laugh just by talking about silly things, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, it wasn't until years later that I did anything. But, I mean, even as a kid, I would write jokes and stuff and pretend to, you know, I would actually, like, you know, be in my room, pretend to be doing stand-up, and I'd tell jokes to, you know, just whatever's in front of me, my mirror and stuff. And finally, it was February of 2014, so about 2.5 years ago, I finally built up the courage, and a friend of mine was actually doing it also. He doesn't do it anymore. It was just something he was kind of doing for fun a few times, and I remember him, he'd gone up there like once or twice, and I asked him about it. I was like, how do I do it? Like, I really want to test out my stuff, and he told me, you know, like, how to go up there and sign up, yada yada. So I finally went up there, and you know, just as anyone, you know, would be, as they always are, just, I was just nervous wreck, you know, just like terrified. And it was for a Tuesday open mic, it was packed. Like, it was seriously like full crowd, just insane how many people there were. And I remember just, you know, of course, being so freaked out. And, you know, whenever I'm standing up there waiting to get my name called to go up, I remember, like, seconds before, just completely forgetting everything I was going to talk about. And I'm just, like, and then I just panic even more, thinking, like, oh, my God, like, I'm going to go up there and not remember what I'm going to say. And just, and then, you know, call my name, I go up there. And I remember being super surprised by how little you can see, you know, like, the lights are,
sure,
you know, blinding your eyes. And you only see, like, the first, like, three or four people in the front row. And there's something, like, so calming about that. Just not seeing so many eyes on you. And as soon as I got up there, I just remembered everything. And I just started out with a big, deep breath. And then I just started telling my jokes. And I think one of my biggest downfalls in the beginning was that my first set went really well. Like, for, like, first time I did, like, I actually did really well. Like, I had the whole place laughing the whole time. And I, after just my first time doing open mic, I thought I was, you know, like, so good. I was, oh, yeah, I can do this, blah, blah, I'm going to do great at this, yada, yada. And then I came back the next week and just bombed. Yeah. I mean, I just, and it was two weeks in a row, just full, just packed place for an open mic, just flooded. And the second time, this is actually a fun story because, you know, John Morgan, every time John Morgan comes through, I hang out with him because he had a huge part. John Morgan actually had a huge part to play with me, keep going in comedy. Yeah. Because my second time, I went up there and I had a big head, thinking, you know, like, oh, I did awesome my first time, so, you know, like, I know, like, I've already got this in the bag, you know, like, I'm gonna be a star, blah, 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 you know, I don't know what I was talking about. And I go up there with, you know, completely different material for the first time, and I go up there, and I probably told, like, one or two jokes, and then my mind went completely blank, like, just forgot, could not think of anything. I couldn't even think of the jokes that I told from my first set to, like, just try to fill in, like, the gap, you know, just to get something. And I'm just standing there in front of all these people, just, like, just blank face, just, like, not knowing, you know, like, and I mean, it was probably at least 30 seconds, which when you're on stage feels like hours, you know? And I mean, it was to the point where people were like, come on, you got this, it's okay, you know, blah, 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 just think, blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, so embarrassing. And then John Morgan was actually, you know, he was doing a full week at the Funny Bone, and he happened to be in town a day early, so he was hosting the open mic that night, which is rare, but very cool. And of course, he was just destroying all night. I mean, I was one of the last people to actually go up that night, and the whole night I'm watching him, just, I'd never seen him before, you know, And of course, you know, John Morgan is just a legend, you know, the Raging Cajun. He's just amazing at controlling a crowd and, you know, takes you on a journey and just killing it. And so I'm just sitting up there with nothing to say, and he's in the back of the room, and he was watching the set, and finally he goes, "Tell us about your tattoos." And luckily enough, I did have a joke about, you know, because I've got a lot of, you know, tattoos and stuff, and it got me onto thinking about a joke I had about tattoos. And once I did that, then I was able to get to the rest of the set and tell some jokes, which still didn't go well. Like, I completely lost my mind. I'm like, I mean, after 30 seconds of not knowing what I was talking about, people were just like, already like, all right, this guy sucks, yada, yada. And so just the whole set was just a complete bomb. I just, and I remember getting off thinking, like, I'm never going to show my face here again. Like, this is the most humiliated I've ever felt in my entire life. I'm so embarrassed. And I would have just, like, got off stage and just walked out of the building and left. But I had brought a friend with me, and there's only, like, two other people after me going on. So I had to wait until the show's over to take, you know, a friend home. And I was just sitting in the back of the room in a corner, just kind of like sulking, just like thinking like, oh my god, this is the most, I can never show my face here again, it's so embarrassing, blah blah. And John Morgan walks up to me and just, you know, starts talking to me, saying like, don't feel bad, you know, like, everybody bombs, it's just a part of comedy, just, you know, keep working at it, keep trying. He's like, you've got potential, just you gotta do this and this and this. He's like, but don't, you know, he's like, I know you're probably thinking like, you don't even want to do this again. And I was like, yep. And he just like kept talking to me and trying to make me feel better and stuff. And because he said that, I was finally like, I was like, all right, I'll try again. I'll do it again. And then, you know, I did. And then, you know, 2.5 years later, I'm, you know, doing it. And cool, so anytime John Morgan, and I always have that to thank him for, you know, and every time he comes through, I come to the shows, and we hang out and talk after the show and stuff, and just shoot the shit and talk about what's been going on, yada yada, you know. And I've been friends with him ever since. And I was really, really lucky that he was hosting that night, because if he hadn't, I probably wouldn't even be doing comedy. I'd probably just have given up. So yeah, it was really a weird series of events to get me into it and then bring me down, but then keep me going. And,
sure.
But yeah.
Say definitely. You give up that day. Where do you think you'd be doing?
If I had not kicked out the comedy, I probably would be going to college right now.
Yeah.
I'd probably be in school. I did actually at the time want to do something with physical therapy. So I would probably end up being in a school for physical therapy of some sort. But I never went through with it, just because once even got around to that time, I just decided I wanted to just do any sort of like off job.
Sure.
On the side that would, you know, keep me going, and anything that would keep me having time to write and go do shows and yada yada. I just didn't want to like have anything holding me back, you know, time wise, you know. So like, I wanted to keep myself as free as possible. So I stopped going after a while. I mean, I didn't right off the bat, you know, but after a while, I stopped going to school, and I just kept up with a job that was less demanding and just kept me free to write and work hard and stay dedicated and everything. And
yeah.
And then it just kind of been falling into place since then.
Yeah, I think that's great, man. Like, obviously, school works for some people, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, But I don't know. I think there's something, you know, really to say about that, though, to like doing what you truly love to do, you know, and obviously I have a full-time job that opens up a lot of time for me to do creative stuff like this, but sometimes you have to find those odd jobs to make it possible for you to pursue your dreams of doing, you know, comedy or whatever it might be, I think it's awesome, man, to keep pushing and chasing that dream and making it happen. And like it sounds like we were talking a bit, but you know you doing a little touring now, doing some
traveling a little bit. Yeah, I got to do a show in New York City, which was a blast. It was I love New York City. Got to do some work out there with Sarah Talamash and Trey Stewart and Eric. I was actually doing a show with Eric Bergstrom. He was he just had his own Comedy Central special a couple weeks ago. It's not supposed to air for a couple months, but he just recorded the special. And then Sarah Talamash, you know, was on Adam Devine's House Party show. And then Trey Stewart was on the show too. He's he did that show Laughs on Fox, and he does a lot of work and stuff. So those were just three awesome comics to do a show with, and it was amazing networking. And I'm hoping to actually be doing some stuff in San Diego with Trey Stewart in like first week of August. To be out there, and then I got to recently do a show in Indianapolis, and then from there I went to Louisville, both of which were amazing. Morty's Comedy Joint in Indianapolis and Laughing Derby in Louisville, just fantastic clubs, and just great turnout, just awesome crowds, just two great cities to do comedy, and I had a blast.
Yeah.
And then from there went to Muncie, back to Indiana, which was actually at a theater. It was at it's called an EB Ball Auditorium, and that was really cool. When I filled up, it was just a really, really big venue, you know, two levels of seating, you know, just big overhanging balcony, and that was really fun.
Is that your biggest crowd so far? Or?
No, that show wasn't. It wasn't like completely filled up.
Right.
But I mean, there was people were spread out at least, and it was a good amount of people. Definitely wasn't the most I've ever performed for.
Sure.
But it was still a cool experience.
Yeah.
I was kind of telling you. Off the mic, it was a little odd. It was kind of it's kind of an area where I guess surrounding the town is just a lot of like farm towns, and so it was the crowd was mostly people that like lived on farms, and they just like came into town from their farms to like see a comedy show. It's like apparently what they do at this auditorium every once in a while. They put on shows there, and people come in from their, you know, farm towns, and they come into the, you know, like a center town like Muncie, and to see shows and stuff, which is cool, which is great. But definitely made for an interesting time, but it was fun. It was a good learning experience. And I'm back for a while now. I'm actually hopefully doing something in San Diego in August, and then also in August should be doing Cincinnati, and then supposed to be getting something scheduled in Iowa soon. So, definitely been just some random traveling and shows, spots and such, just all around, which has been a blast. I love traveling for comedy. I go to Illinois quite a bit, too, for shows and stuff. I'm going to go to Peoria soon at a jukebox, which is... Yeah, it was just a blast. I just, there's nothing more fun. I don't know what it is. There's just something about going to a city where you're not from, just like, I don't know, like seeing the different kinds of crowds, and I guess something about being introduced all the way from St. Louis, you know. Yeah. It's just like, I guess part of it is like represent your city, you know, representing the city that you started your comedy in, you know. It's just kind of like showing people in other cities, like, my city is like good at this too, you know. You're used to seeing like, you know, other people in your city, but like, we're, you know, we have a strong scene also, mm-hmm. you know. It's cool representing, you know, like where you came from, you
yeah,
know.
Man.
So that's been a blast for sure.
You, I'm sure you get to write a lot too on the road, but you know, thinking all the random things that come up on the highway or, or everything else too. That mm-hmm. I'm sure is plenty of time to think, and of course, like just to see all the silly things that you see on the road.
Oh, that's completely true. I mean, just ask Bobby J. Cox and I. Did that show together in Muncie, and we carpooled, you know, and you know, it was over 5 hours there, over 5 hours back, you know, so you have plenty of time to talk and stuff. And just, it's even if it doesn't end up being something that goes into your joke arsenal, just the hilarious things that happen
right.
on the road, like Bobby and I we got hungry about halfway through, and we were like kind of like on the edge of Illinois, and we just stopped at the first exit we saw, and just kind of looked for the first restaurant we really found. Well, what we did is we GPSed restaurants and stuff, and we saw one that looked like, you know, had good food. We liked the menu and stuff, so we pulled off this exit, and we ended up going like way like down, I don't know, this like, it's like a gravel road and stuff, and it just looks like you're just like, it seems like you're going down like a corn farm, and you're about to go to like someone's house, and it's just like this random, I don't even know how people know it's there without like I don't know, hearing about it or GPS or something. It's not something you just like see, but like, oh, you want to stop there, you know. It's like you'd have to know about it. It's like down a gravel road, and it's like behind these trees and like overhanging like I don't know, it's like overhanging like moss or whatever,
yeah.
but it's just like nearly hidden, and it just looked like, it just like looked like a big rusty house, you know. And we're just like, what in the world? We go in there, and this like, dude, it was a trip, like going in this place, and it's just super dimly lit. The best way I could describe it, it looked like the way Bobby and I described it, was like in the when they go into the Fratelli's abandoned restaurant in Goonies.
Yeah.
And it just looked like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's super dark, and like there's just like a lot of the tables, like it was like there were like rooms, like little like separate rooms and stuff, you know, where like they would have tables where like people would be like eating, and there was like buffet, but it was just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was probably just weird because it was just so like dimly lit, so
right.
dark in there, that you're just like, what is going on? And just like, they had all these crazy like decorations and ornaments and things on the wall, and then you open up the menu and they've got this just like crazy expensive like nice menu, you know. It's just like filet mignon and like stuff, you know, just like things you would not expect. Like, I was expecting, you know, like chicken tenders and mac and cheese or something like that, you know. And it's like New York strip steak and like all these like crazy things, and we're just like sitting there and just like looking around the place and like just looking at like the waiters and waitresses, and we're just like, you just kind of have to be there to see it, but we're just cracking up. And we didn't even say, like, the menu was so expensive, like we didn't even we weren't expecting that at all. As soon as we opened it, we're like, oh yeah, we can't afford this, let's go to let's stop at a fast food place along the way, you know. So we ended up after a couple of minutes, we just got up, but we were just exploring the place, and it's just so cool, like those little things you find,
right?
Along the way, and just like, you know, people you run in, you know, kind of people you run into, you know, especially when you're touring around the Midwest, because, you know, you end up stopping for gas in just, you know, the middle of Booneyville, and, you know, it's just like old-timey gas stations, and just, you know, like the people go through here, and it's like, you're like, I can't believe that this is only like a few hours away from where I live. Like, this looks like a whole other like country. It's like, I feel like I need a passport to get in here. This is, it's such a trip seeing like these different cultures. And it's like, you know, you live so close to areas like these, but like, it just seems like it would be a world away. And like different ways people live. So you just, yeah, you get to see so much cool stuff on the road. Like, so many different, like I said, so many different cultures, so many different like spots, and you also, you know, run into just really cool things. And
I did a road trip once with a couple of buddies to Florida, three of us in a Ford Thunderbird, and we were on it, like the windshield wiper was like splitting or something, and it was just like beating on the windshield. And so like going down the highway, we were obviously didn't care to stop, we just because we wanted to get to the beach. So we're doing like 70 down the highway, and I think we found like some tape or something in the glove box. And so I'm like, my friend Brandon was in the back seat, like crawls up to the out the front window there, and I'm holding him out the window, and he's we're going down the highway, and he's taping that windshield wiper down to where quit banging on the windshield and stuff. And so that's the kind of things that happen when you get guys,
little adventures.
Yeah, you get guys in cars, and you're singing along to the radio and everything else, and hanging guys out the window, or you know, running into a random dimly lit weird restaurant, or, you know, whatever happens.
It is, man. It's crazy how you just put a few people that you genuinely enjoy spending time with, people that can make you laugh, in a car, and just spend, you know, you just jet off and spend hours in places. Just like the things that happen are just like, it, you know, you don't just so many, the best things that happen are the unexpected things, you know. Just like, you know, like half of the best part of the trips are like the things that just came up out of nowhere, you just did not expect at all, you know.
Right.
And they end up being the best part of the trip. That's the beauty of road trips, you know. It's just the unexpected. You know, just the funny things that you have joked about along the way. And you do, and, you know, as a comic, a lot of times you do, not only with the time that you have just thinking, you know, about jokes, but just things that happen, and then you're later able to turn into a joke. Like, one thing that happened to me on a road trip, I ended up being able to turn into a joke, was just, you know, I just saw a funny bumper sticker on a car, you know, and it was just like, it wasn't a bumper sticker, it was like a logo on the back of the truck, and it was a Chevy, and it had the Chevy logo on around it. Said, built with tools, not chopsticks. And I was like, that's oddly kind of racist.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, I was able, you know, I ended up making a joke out of that. And then Bobby had ended up writing a joke out of something really funny, because we were, once again, we're, you know, kind of in the middle of Boonieville, and we're trying to get gas at it was like nighttime, and you know, we're like looking for places to get gas, and all these towns that you end up, you know, stopping for gas, like their gas stations close at like 9 o'clock. The whole city, the town, like shuts down at night. So when you're traveling through in the middle of the night, it's like, it's really hard. If you're low on gas, like, you can actually get really screwed. And so we're like stopping at places, and like we keep like coming up on all these gas stations that like we've never even heard of. It's almost like they're like family owned, or just like, you know, just like not like chain. And it's like scary, it's like dark, you know, and we're just like, we see like one person kind of like standing by the building, and we're like, all right, this is kind of freaky, like what the hell's going on. We went to one gas station, and they didn't have any gas pumps. Like, it was like the overhead and stuff, and like the gas station was open, but their pumps were like missing. And so we like drive past there, and then finally we come up on like a Phillips 66, and we're like praising God, you know, we're like, oh, we found something, thank God. And, and you know, like Bobby and I were joking about how like when we're, you know, like living at home in the city, we're, you know, we're still like, oh, fuck corporations and fuck the, you know, fuck those places, blah, blah, blah. But then when you're like lost in the middle of nowhere, you see one of those places, you're like, oh, thank God you're here. Oh, I'm so happy you're here. Like, you're just like, you know, it's like seeing a familiar face, you know, when you're lost. And
the things I would do for a Quick Trip right now.
Right, exactly. Seriously, though, that you literally end up thinking that, like, when you're traveling and you don't know like where you are, and you're just in the middle of nowhere and just, like, Booneyville, and I don't know. It's like those places are, you know, they're safe, but I think just from watching scary movies, you know, you think that, you know, that that's where you're going to get, you know, like, chainsawed or something like that, you know? So, like, areas like that freak you out because of movies you've seen, you know? So then you see a chain gas station or restaurant or anything, you know, and you're just, you know, on your knees thinking, God, it's there. And I don't know, just those really funny things happen along the way.
Yeah,
those end up being a blast. Bobby's a really awesome person to road trip with too, so I'm really excited. We had a blast, and because the other two times, you know, I was by myself, and God, that is oh, I love road tripping when I have people with me, but man, when you are by yourself, that is a long time to just, like, after a while, even music is just like, all right, fuck, I've listened to everything I know, you know, like, and it's just, it's good, you know, to, like, to have that time, but then, like, especially on the way back, like, after, like, hour four, you're like, all right, man, I'm over this. So, right. But it's, overall, it's still a great, great experience.
Sure. So you're back at the Funny Bone coming up here. So we got a couple dates we got to plug for you. We got July 9th, you'll be at Blueberry Hill, you said?
Yeah.
And July 11th, you're in the Funny Bone Comedy Competition.
Yeah, the semifinals of that competition will be up. That should be a good time.
Yeah, and then July 14th is your debut, you said, with your new open mic showcase?
Yeah, exactly. It's a showcase. Ryan Reese and I, which is like my best friend in comedy, who's like the first person I met doing comedy, and we just became great friends, and so I'm really happy to be doing it with him. We have a blast together. Basically, what we're doing is just as part of trying to help the local scene grow stronger and make advances and progress, is what we're doing is a little bit different. It's just, instead of putting several comics on a show and then, you know, just giving them like 7 to 10 minutes or something, we're putting just a couple, like maybe two or three comics on a show, and having them do anywhere between like 20 to 30 minutes of time, because you know, as you progress, you know, they're going to end up doing more time on a comic stage, and when they get to that level, you think it would be awesome if they've had, you know, more experience doing it, and just kind of more like a training and practice thing, really get comfortable with having all that time on stage, you know, getting loose, you know, because, like, when you're doing, like, open mic sets, which are, like, 4 minutes, or even a hosting set, which is, like, 10 minutes, you're really, you're on such a set, like, strict schedule, and just, you have to, you know, get the crowd to laugh a bunch of times in just a short amount of time. You're working so hard just to get all your jokes in there before your time is up, that you don't really have a time to, like, relax and play with your jokes, talk to the crowd, you know, just really have fun with it. And and that's something I love about doing, you know, extra time, you know, like on the road, I was doing feature work, and that extra, you know, that extra 15 minutes you have than being a host, you know, because you're doing, you know, anywhere between like 15 and 25 minutes as a feature, depending on the show. When you have all that extra time, you just have so much time to just even just off the cuff, like add taglines to your jokes, or talk to an audience member that said something, you know, and try to come up with something funny out of that, or just do whatever you want, you know, just relax and be loose on stage, you know, because you don't have to worry about trying to get it all into one, you know, tight knit little space of time.
Yeah.
And so I think helping comics become more comfortable with that time stage would end up just helping them in the long run, and even not just being more comfortable with doing more time, but also make the shorter sets just be a breeze, you know, that way if they're, you know, if they're doing extra time whenever they're doing those shorter, like anywhere from like 5 to 10 minute sets, then it's just like nothing, you know, it's just a home run.
Yeah.
So that's just something we're doing is, it's kind of something as a whole, you know, we have that STL Comedians Facebook site, you know, that all the comedians, we kind of get together and we talk about ideas to try to help the scene grow stronger, you know. And there was a big thread on there a couple weeks ago where we were all just kind of talking about like what we can do to help the scene grow stronger and help each other out and, you know, make it bigger, you know, make us progress. And that was something that Ryan and I came up with, was just whatever we could do to help the scene grow stronger. And so I just we're helping comics get more practice, so that's the goal with that, is less comics, more time, and just getting to see a lot, because you are able to build a rapport and build a connection with the crowd when you have more time like that. And yeah, I think that's something the crowd enjoys more too, is I think I'm just as an audience member as myself, I hate when I am at a showcase where there's just comics coming up one after another, one after another, because all that stop and go, you know, and that, you know, that cut in the momentum. And like when I'm getting to watch a comic up there for a long time, once you know they built up that connection, then you really just are really enjoying what they're, you know, talking about and what they're doing. And sure, I think that's something that the audience would also really enjoy, is just getting to see a lot of and know a lot, learn a lot about each comic.
Yeah, especially if they're storyteller mm-hmm. comedians and stuff, you can elaborate right. more on something. And
definitely, yeah. definitely.
That's cool. So that's July 14th at the Sappington Lounge.
Mm-hmm. On Gravois, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, come out, check it out.
Definitely, 8 p.m. It's a free show. We're making it free so that we can just get as many people in there as possible, you know. So, yeah, free show, 8 p.m. Yeah, so it should be a great time.
You and Ryan both going to do time?
Yeah, Ryan and I, we're not going to do a whole lot of time, just because that would just end up making the good show way too long. Plus, the thing about it is that the high majority of the, with it being a bar, it's kind of a dive bar with a lot of regulars, which is actually, is in one way, it's really nice because we really don't even have to get a lot of people in there to get it packed, because about Thursday through Sunday, it's on a Thursday, and Thursday through Sunday, that place is already nearly completely packed with just regulars who are there every, like, almost every single day. So we really only have to get a minimal amount of people in there for the place to be packed. And so that's the thing, is that if Ryan and I each did a ton of time, the next time we host the show, they've already heard all those, you know, like, same jokes and stuff, you know?
Sure.
So Ryan and I are really only going to do a minimal amount of time. This is more just for the people that we're showcasing to do it, to get to do that. So this is more about, you know, helping the other comics in the scene more than anything.
Yeah, man, I think that's great. I think that's, like, again, you know, talking about people doing stuff in town, I think that, you know, that, and, I mean, there's several... I mean, there's a mic every night of the week around this town, mm-hmm. so like it's really cool to see people taking initiative to you know, explore creative options and do stuff like that, to just and of course hang out with friends and do it, you know, while they're doing it. So like
exactly.
But yeah, man. So we got and you're, again, you're in the semifinals at the Funny Bone. That's on the 11th, and that's a cool thing they got going on there too. Getting a lot of guys, up and coming young comics, time there, and then of course more feature hosting and feature spots there and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Funny Bone competition is great. It's it always brings out a large crowd on a day that the Funny Bone isn't even usually open. You know, usually Funny Bone's not open on Mondays, but you know, throughout pretty much the whole summer, you know, you have. The first round lasts, you know, like usually like 5 weeks alone, and then usually the semifinals about three, and then yeah, the night of the finals, and because there's something about like competition that bring not only draws an audience but also makes them like very high energy. They're very, you know, excited to see the show. You know, they're just, it's just like I'm not sure. And a lot of it has to do with because they're there specifically to see someone, you know, one of their friends.
Sure.
And, you know, trying to hoping they advance, you know, so that's a big part of it. But I mean, and but they're not just, you know, excited and high energy for that one person there, you know, for the whole show, you know. So even if someone doesn't make it past even the first round, I mean, you do have to pay to get in. But it's totally worth it because, I mean, every week, every round is just always, like, a good, big crowd, high energy. You always, you know, it's pretty hard to have a bad set. I mean, you want to see, you have good responses to everything. And then, you know, a lot of people who may have gone unnoticed, you know, it's a good chance for them to, you know, especially if they make it to the finals, you know, that usually helps them, you know, kind of get their name out there and, you know, kind of show the manager of the club that they, you know, they're a good comic and, you know, they've got a good set, you know, and it's a good way to get hosting work and stuff. And, you know, or if you're a host, you know, sometimes build your way up to feature. So I do love the competition in that sense.
Did you participate last year too?
I've been in the finals the last 2 years.
Yeah, because I think that might be where I initially met you and saw you. I think it might have been part of through the comedy competition there.
Yeah, the 2 years ago.
I was trying to think. I know. I mean, I've seen you around there a bunch of the funny bones. I was trying to think of where the first one might have been, but I think that might have been it.
Yeah, I before the last competition, I wasn't working there regularly, so that that probably was honestly the competition 2 years ago. I did the competition. I made it to the finals. I did really bad in the finals. That was a rough one. The next year, after that, I made it to the finals again. I had a good set, and which the manager of the club was watching. So even though I didn't place in the top three, I actually ended up getting fourth by a couple points last year. But I still had a good set, and the manager was watching, which helped a lot. And then a little bit after that was when he finally asked me to do my first week there, and then from there, just I work, you know, regularly at the Funny Bone. I usually do a hosting week there once every month or two.
Yeah.
And then and so this year is more. I mean, I already get work. I got work there, but it's just more about, you know. It's just fun, you know, competition, you know, and everyone in the competition are friends, you know,
sure.
So it's not, like, competitive in the sense that, you know, you're, like, you're hoping the other guys do bad, and, you know, like, screw you know, I hope you do poorly, and I do good, blah, 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 and I hate you if you do better than me kind of thing. It's just fun, you know,
yeah.
We just, we have fun with it. We honestly, we have a little, like, almost like a little, how would you say, a pool on the side where we kind of make bets on what place the comics are going to get and stuff, and then whoever gets the most by the end of the thing gets a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, we make a little like fun game out of it and stuff.
All right.
You know, just because, you know, competitions, you know, they don't matter in the sense that, you know, that it's gonna, you know, make or break you. You know, it's mostly for the fun of it.
Sure.
It can, you know, just get your name out there, you know, whether you win or not, you can still, you know, it can still help you a lot, do a lot for you, you know.
Yeah.
So we just, the comics, you know, we just have fun with it, and we enjoy, you know, all doing the shows together, especially in front of big crowds, you know. So overall, it's just a really good experience. But so, yeah, this year, it's not really about trying to get work. It's just doing, just hoping to make the finals and just, you know, have a good show in front
yeah.
of the crowds, you know. So
yeah,
it's just, it's always a blast.
Yeah, you said John asked you talk about your tattoos on stage and stuff, like, and you obviously got some quite a bit of artwork there and stuff. Is there any crazy stories with your tattoos or anything?
You know, not really any crazy stories, honestly.
Yeah.
I I actually have an appointment set up soon to actually get my left hand done. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, yeah?
I've wanted to get my hand. I've been wanting to get my hands done for a long time. I just previously, you know, before this, I had a job where I was unable to do that, you know. But now I'm at a point where it doesn't really matter, so I can do whatever I want. So I'm going to do that. But honestly, all my tattoos really are just it's mostly about where I'm from. I'm originally from San Diego,
okay.
California. So this is my right arm is just a big landscape of or outline of Coronado. Coronado is my favorite spot from back home. My cousins and sisters and family and I, friends and I, we would ride our bikes along like the coast and stuff, you know, the shore. And,
yeah.
I was younger, and it's just a memory that I hold really dear to my heart, you know. So I've got the Dell and Coronado on my right arm, and just like the that line of state of California right there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a tropical piece. This is actually the street that I grew up on right here. And then this is the Sublime song. I'm just a really big Sublime fan. I grew up listening to Sublime. And,
yeah.
You know, I've just got a bunch of stuff on me. I'm not one of those people who thinks like, oh, your tattoos have to have a meaning. They have to have a story. But for me, I kind of have a rule of myself. It's more just make sure it will always be true, you know, like
sure.
I'll always have been from California, you know, it's not something like I'm just into at the time, you know, like, of course, you know, it's sometimes some people think it's stupid to get a band like tattooed on you, but it's like Sublime, something I grew up with, you know, it's just
well, I'm sure you have a connection there too to SoCal and stuff. And,
exactly. Yeah. And it's just, you know, there's a family thing more than anything. Me and my cousins and sisters still listen to Sublime together,
yeah.
You know, and it just brings back good memories. I try to get things that bring back good memories, you know. That's just, I'm a very nostalgic person, you
yeah.
know. I still listen to like really old music, listen to stuff that I grew up with. I like a lot of the underground punk bands and stuff, you know. I'm a big 80s punk fan, you know. I love Bad Brains, Bad Religion, Misfits, Social Distortion, My Threat, you know, NoFX, Descendants, Refuse, all those, you know, kind of bands, Rancid, all those bands that are, you know, part of that movement. I just kind of grew up listening to all that, you know, and stuff. So I still, you know, just listen to all of that, you know. I will listen to new music here and there, but I just love anything that, you know, just brings back, you know, great, like, childhood memories and stuff.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
Just very nostalgic like that. So I just like to get, it's just nice to, you know, like, sometimes I'll just look down at my arms and, you know, it brings back good
yeah.
memories, and I just think about it. And so that's what I usually try to do with my tattoos is something that, you know, means something to me that's happened in my life, you know. And I plan to get a tattoo. I'm getting a tattoo soon for my son. And everything, you know, cause, you know, obviously that's very important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't have any tattoos, but that's something like I always, again, it's going to be permanent, you know. I mean, obviously they have removal stuff, but the idea
yeah.
of it is permanent. And so I was like, I don't know that there's nothing really in my life right now. I mean, besides my wife, that's like permanent, you know.
Right.
So it's like, but having a child and stuff, you know, it's like you're always going to. You always going to be a dad.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I agree. I think that's it might take to that point or having a child. You know, maybe I'll do something then. But I don't know. I just I love, you know, I watch a lot of like Ink Masters and all. I love the artwork. I love the, you know, the stories that tattoos can tell and everything and all the work that goes into them. And
Tattoo Nightmares?
No,
that one's cool. It's usually people are getting cover ups.
Yeah.
But while they're getting the cover ups, they're telling the story of like how they got this awful shitty tattoo that they have on them right now.
Right.
And you end up hearing some hilarious like crazy stories, and that's fun too. Is like listen to people's stories of. It's always fun to hear. Like if you see someone with like a shitty like basement. Tattoo that they got, you know, like their friends did it for $5, you know,
yeah.
with a friggin' you know, like a needle and a tape deck or whatever,
yeah.
you know, they like just build guns out of anything, you know. There's always like crazy, you know, just ask someone about it. If you see a shitty tattoo, just ask them about it, because sure. there's bound to be a really funny fucking story out of it, you know. So I always, if I see someone like with a shitty tattoo, I end up talking about it because I know I'm about to hear like a really funny story.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I'm sure I have I know people that just kind of like well, Brandon Judd, he's got a bunch of random tattoos and stories stories to tell. Another local comic, and
he's another fellow like punk. Like, yeah. A lot of his tattoos have to do with punk bands,
right.
Also, actually, I know he's got a Green Day tattoo, and he has a Bad Religion tattoo. And,
yeah,
I know he's a big Refuse fan. We haven't talked about that a lot.
Sure.
But
yeah, not that his are bad tattoos, not there. But just that he's got a bunch of random,
yeah,
kind of, you know,
all
so
over the place. Yeah.
They all tell stories and stuff too. And yeah, we talked. I had him on the show a while back. We talked about some of his tattoos and as well. And so, but yeah, I think they're cool, man. Tattoos and scars, they tell stories, you know. So
they do, yeah, yeah. And they're great conversation pieces.
Sure.
So if anything, you know, like I used to be a waiter at a restaurant for a long time, actually, and I think they ended up helping me like get bigger tips sometimes, because you know, they someone would ask me about a tattoo, and then we just start talking, and then I would just end up talking to them for like a long time and I build a good connection with them. A lot of times someone commented on the fact that, you know, I had a piece of California on my arm, and they'd be like, oh, I'm from California, and then I'd end up talking to them for like an hour about,
yeah,
you know, like about, you know, things I miss about back, you know, home and stuff, and just a little piece of nostalgia, and end up building up a great connection with them, and end up getting a bigger tip at the end, you know. So,
what gets you to St. Louis then?
Oh man, that is a very long, confusing story.
Yeah.
I'll try to make it a little shorter. So basically, my sister and my brother-in-law moved here because my brother-in-law, I guess like SLU University, they put out this test every grade once in a while. They send it to like 100 of like the smartest people in the country, basically. And the people with the top 4 highest scores basically pass, and they're like paid to study SLU. Like they want, like they're so smart, they're basically like paid to study there because they want them there. And my brother-in-law is a fucking genius, and he passed it and he was on it, and they moved here, and so my brother-in-law is sitting at SLU. They have 7 kids, by the way. So my mom I was in high school, and my mom wanted to move there to help take care of the grandkids and stuff, so we moved here. And then once my brother-in-law was finished at SLU, he got a job in New York. So they packed up and they moved to New York. And then as soon as I was able to be out, you know, I was in high school at the time, but you know, as soon as I was able to be on my own, she jetted out there to New York. And I stayed here. You know, I had been doing comedy for a while, and kind of had things like grounded here. And then I planned to move back to California. Then you know, surprise baby boy on the way, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, my son is a year and a half now, and you know, I at first really didn't care for St. Louis that much. I think it had a part of being, you know, like wanting just to go back to California, and just not knowing people. But once I kind of got grounded here, you know, I realized that there's a lot more to do than you think. I think it's one of those things, like, you just have to go out and search, you know. Like there's so many hidden gems in this city that people don't know about. You know, people say, oh, there's nothing to do around here. It's like, you just got to go out and look. There are so many cool things to do in this city any time of day, you know, year round. That's awesome. And that's, I mean, especially, I mean, we were talking about earlier, you know, all the things that people do with comedy, all the different styles of comedy, and people just don't know about. And that's one thing that we're working so hard on changing is that it's amazing how many people I've met that I mention coming to a comedy show to, and they're like, I didn't even know that they did that here.
Right.
I've had friends that not only have never been to the Funny Bone, they never even heard of the Funny Bone. Heard of Helium Comedy Club, and that's just, I mean, those are two of the most well-known, places to do comedy in St. Louis, and it's like, so many people I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In all over the country. I just mean as far as our city is concerned.
Sure.
And so many of my friends, I mean, they've never been to a live comedy show, or just people that I meet, they've never been to a live comedy show. And, I mean, the fact that they don't even know about the Funny Bone and Helium, obviously they have no idea about the tons of shows, downtown, South City, just all over that people put on. There's all these bar shows that are free, like there's great comics, awesome, amazing, talented comics that are doing shows for free in bars, just to try to, do a show for people, and you got, like you said earlier, STL Up Late, you have the Improv Shop, and not just comedy, but also people are putting together totally different forms and styles of comedy. You got one that I really enjoy is the one that JC Sabal and Chris Sear put together on Wednesday nights at Crow's Nest at Wild Card Comedy. It's an awesome change of routine, for an open mic. You go up and you draw a card, and you there's all these different options you can do. Like sometimes you have to spend your whole time like talking doing to an audience member, doing crowd work, or you have to do it in a different accent, or you have to come up with a certain style of joke, or you have to do a joke based on this, blah blah blah. There's all these different things you have to do, and so it kind of makes you try to be like quick on your toes. You gotta think of stuff on the spot sometimes, or you gotta work harder for a laugh, which is really cool. It's good it's good practice, and there's just, and it's just, and it's fun to watch, if you're an audience member, it's fun to watch. There's right. all these awesome different things comedy wise that are going on in the city, and people don't know about it, and that's something that us in the scene are like just constantly looking for ways to change, just a way to get it out there, get people to know that these things are going on like all the time, and it's free most of the time, not always,
sure.
but most of the time it's free. And you can just go to your local bar and have a drink and watch some hilarious stand up, or Tasha, you have different stuff like Sorry Please Continue, Jeremy Helwig and Kenny Kynes,
yeah.
usually guest panelists put on, where people are just telling hilarious stories, and they're interjecting their stuff into it, and you have that other show they do, Fatal Bus Accident, and there's just so many different things that you can watch for free and just have a good time, and help these comics get their name out there. And they just, I don't think it's necessarily a lack of interest in the city. I think it's a lack of knowledge that it's even happening,
Right.
So we're just really looking for ways to advertise. You have comedyintheloo.com, which is awesome, which is a great website where people can just go on and they can see all the shows that are going on in the city, comedy-wise, where to find them, what time, blah, blah, blah. And that's just something we're going to just get people to know about, like Comedy in the Loo, just... check out what's near to them.
Sure.
Check out a show,
I've been trying to do my part with the advertising, the list and stuff on the plug-in shows as much as I can.
Sure.
And,
that's what we love about you. Like, dude, I think I can say that I speak for everyone when I say, like, everyone in St. Louis who does either comedy or music, I mean, anybody that's a local talent, like, very highly appreciative of what you do.
Well,
I mean,
thanks,
like, we're all big fans of yours, and we appreciate what you do and love what you do, and we love that you do it just out of the pure joy of doing it,
hanging out with you guys, so it's fun.
It's we there's we've always, everybody always has good things to say about you, which is really cool. Awesome. So another reason I'm really happy to be on the show today.
Yeah, man, I'm happy. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad glad this worked out. And now, like again, you know, I'm happy to help plug all the stuff. So again, you can come see Max live July 9th, Blueberry Hill. July 11th at the Funny Bone, and July 14th, come over to the debut of their new showcase. Him and Ryan will be at Sappington Lounge, and that'll be every Thursday, right?
Monthly. It'll be, okay. Yeah, it's going to be, it's honestly, we don't even have it set up like a first, second, third, or fourth Thursday of every month. It's always going to be on a Thursday every month, but we just don't know exactly because...
Sure.
We have to schedule around games too. The regulars are there to watch the games too.
Yeah.
So we have to, you know, with that being kind of the same crowd every time, we got to kind of work around that too. So
well, let's hope this one goes really well, and they'll let you.
Hoping to. It should be really fun. Yeah. John Matty, Bobby J. Cox, and Nathan Orton are the featured comics.
Yeah, man, that's a nice lineup.
Yeah, great lineup. Awesome comics. Great friends of ours. So that's going to be a really, really fun show.
For sure, yeah. All right, and then you got Twitter and stuff or anything you want to follow?
Sure, yeah. My Instagram handle is MaxPriceIsMe. That's no spaces, no capitals, just that. And then my Twitter handle is the_MaxiPad. And so, yeah, you can follow me on... either one of those, or just on Facebook, just Max Price.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for doing this. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. I had a good time talking about all this. I'm very happy to be on the show. I've wanted to do this for a while.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Max.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Rock People Podcast. Rock People Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,